give the Lord another hand clap of praise. We thank God for our terrific trio, our terrific trio of the choir singing hard this morning, singing. Might be small in numbers, but they sing with a lot of power. So we thank God for our choir and thank God for our ushers. Thank God just for the, again, for the opportunity and privilege to come out to the house of the Lord and to worship Him with other fellow saints. Sometimes, you know, we often can take coming to church for granted. I mean, I'm probably, as they say, preaching to the choir because you all are here this morning. But it is a blessing to be able to come out to the house of the Lord. It is a blessing. There are many people around this city, around this state, around this nation, around this world who would like to be able to physically come out to the house of the Lord, but can't for various reasons. Maybe physical health, maybe mental health, maybe jobs. But it's a blessing when you can get up and come out to the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. The psalmist said, I was glad when he said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So stand with us this morning. Stand with us this morning as I read our text for today. Hebrews chapter 12, and what I'm going to do the next couple of weeks, I'm going to preach some of what I call kind of standalone sermons, and then for the month of November, I'm going to preach a series of sermons on Thanksgiving, because you and I have many things to be thankful for, and then of course in the month of December, I'm going to preach messages as it relates to the birth of Christ, and then January, about mid-January, we'll start another longer series, probably on a smaller book in the Old Testament. So that's kind of where I'm going the next few months, sermonically, where you kind of know, okay, November, Thanksgiving messages, December, messages about Christmas, and January, about mid-January, we'll start a new series, longer series. But this morning, we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1 and 2. It's good to see all of y'all here. Good, always good to see Mother Estrix here. It's always good to see her here. I often say this, when I see her, she just looks the same all the time. When I see her, she's caught in a good time capsule. Sister Hardaway's mom. She just stays the same. That's a blessing. And also, your other daughter here with you as well. Good to see all of y'all this morning. Good to see Sister, Marissa back there from college. Back visiting us. She's up at UT, so definitely keep her and our other church members who are off in school in your prayers. Bailey, she's at Vanderbilt, and we have others too, so I'm even going here locally. So keep our young people in prayer when they go off to college. Because it's a lot of pitfalls in a lot of places, but it's a lot of pitfalls in college. So let's definitely keep them in our prayers. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside, somebody say lay aside. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, or so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Say that with me. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And that's my thought this morning. That's my main thought this morning. Looking unto Jesus. Looking to Jesus. You may be seated. Looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus. Dear Lord, I pray that indeed that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight. Take the words that are going to come from the pulpit today, dear God. First of all, of course, pray that they're your words and that they will go and find good ground in the hearts of your people, that they might indeed bless with a harvest of 30 and 60 fold, dear God, that we all would leave here being good ambassadors and good producers of fruit, dear God. Let us not just be hearers of the word of God, but doers thereof. Thank you for your word, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. It never returns to you void. It always accomplishes its task. It's gonna correct. It's gonna rebuke, and it's gonna encourage us, your people. Speak now, dear God, for we need to hear. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Looking to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Many of us this morning, many of us are looking to our own human resources to be victorious, to be successful, to be righteous. We're often looking hard, but we're looking at our own human resources. Newsflash, if that's the case for you this morning, you and I, we're looking at the wrong thing. We're looking at the wrong thing. Check this out. See, nobody stops at a Krispy Kreme donut shop, especially when that light is flashing. Nobody stops there just to look at the donuts. No, you and I go to a donut shop, especially when that light is flashing, they're fresh and hot. We go there to eat the donuts. But I tell you one thing, though, if you stop there long enough, if you did stop there just to look at the donuts, if you stop there and stare at them and looked at them long enough, guess what? You're going to end up eating some. Why? Because the more you stare at it, the more you look at it, the more you want it. So it is often, if you will, Satan's goal for the Christian, for the believer, is to get us just to focus on our sin. Just to look at our sin. Just to look at our sin. But just looking at your sin, that's not going to help you or me at all. You and I need to look at something, or shall I say, look at someone who can help to deliver us and give us victory over our sin. That's why you and I are to look at Jesus. We are to look to Jesus, the author and finisher, the author and perfecter of our faith. We are to look to Jesus. So I asked you this morning, subtitle could have been, I'm saying looking to Jesus, but the subtitle could have been what you're looking at or who you looking at. I encourage you this morning as your pastor said, look unto Jesus. Look to Jesus. These two verses this morning, these two verses are going to give us a solution to our sin problem. That's reason enough for you to have come this morning. Just these two verses this morning are going to give you and me a solution to our sin problem. And if you're in the flesh, if you're living, all of us got a sin issue or a sin problem. See how quiet you got right there? See how quiet you got? All of us got a sin problem. But these two verses give us a Bible, Brother Charlie. They give us a great solution to our sin problem. The book of Hebrews, one of the overarching themes of the book of Hebrews, it tells us that indeed, that Christ is greater than our sin. The book of Hebrews lets us know that Christ is greater than any old sacrificial system. Many of the early Jewish Christians were wanting to go back to the old sacrificial system of bringing bulls and goats and those type things to the priest. But Christ is greater than all of those things. The book of Hebrews lets us know that Christ is greater than any angel or any priest or anything else. Christ is greater than any of those things. So that's why you and I are to look to Christ, who is the author and finisher, the author and perfecter of our faith. It starts out in verse 1. It says, therefore, we also, since we have a great cloud of witnesses, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And let me say this real quickly. It's not like people in heaven are looking down on earth and seeing what we're doing. No, the great cloud of witnesses are listed in chapter 11 of Hebrews. The great cloud of witnesses are people who before us looked to Jesus and put their faith and trust in Jesus, and Jesus brought them through. So we got testimonies, we got witnesses that indeed, this thing we call Christianity, this faith in God, this faith in Christ, it truly works. It worked for Abraham. He and Sarah, they trusted God, and guess what? God blessed them with a son by the name of Isaac. Abraham, he trusted God, even taking Isaac later on in Isaac's life up on the hill to sacrifice Isaac to God. And even Abraham said, me and the boy, we'll come back and worship God. So he realized, even if I have to sacrifice Isaac, somehow God, I got faith, God gonna raise him back up. So this faith worked for brothers like Moses, who went down to Egypt and led several millions of people out of Egypt. So this faith, these witnesses worked for them. And guess what? It can work for you and me. This faith in God, this faith in Christ, this looking unto Jesus, it worked for them. And so it can work for you and me. It worked for people like David and Samuel and Gideon. It worked for them, so it can work for you and for me. It worked for Sister Ruth and Sister Esther. And so guess what? It can work for you and me as well. This faith in Christ, this faith in God enabled them to lay aside the weights and the sin and to run this race, as the verse 1 says, to run this race with endurance. See, the Christian race, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. Let me say it again. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And so looking to Jesus helps you and me to run this race with endurance. As we look back even at these witnesses, these examples of other brothers and sisters before us who ran the race faithfully. And a lot of y'all probably know people personally, mama or daddy or grandmama or big mama or big dad or uncle or aunt. They ran this race with endurance because they looked to Jesus. So as we run this race, one thing, if you're taking notes, you want to write this down this morning. Because there are certain things that hinder us in our Christian progress, that hinder us in this Christian race. One of the things is right there in verse 1. He says to lay aside every weight. So if you're taking notes, you might want to say, I want to lay aside. You need to lay aside every weight. Lay aside every weight. Every weight. So what weight do you need to lay aside this morning? Now this weight may not necessarily be a sin. At least it doesn't start out that way. It may eventually become an idol or something in your life. But because he talks about sin, we're going to get to that just in a moment. But I'm talking about laying aside weight, things that hinder us in our Christian progress, things that hinder us as we pursue holiness. Lay aside every weight. So think about that for a moment. What are you doing? What are you doing frequently and consistently? It's on your calendar and it's perhaps stunting your spiritual growth. What is it? Think about that for a moment. What is your weight? Say, Lord, what is my weight this morning? What's weighing me down? What's hindering my relationship with you? What's hindering my progress in Christ? What's keeping me at the same spiritual level I was at 10 years ago? What is my weight? What do I need to lay aside? You know, as you peruse your regular schedule of daily and weekly activities, I'm sure the Holy Spirit will begin to maybe show you a few things that you need to lay aside as hindering your progress in Christ. And once again, I'm not saying these things are not necessarily sins. It's just maybe some things that are holding you back from pursuing the Lord more faithfully. Let me just give you a couple of simple ones. This might apply to all of us, but I know it definitely. Well, it probably does apply to all of us. I'm just going to talk about social media in general. I know it's kind of cliches, but check this out. If you're spending more time on Facebook than you are with your face in the book, that sounds like a weight to me. Let me repeat that. If you're spending more time on Facebook than your face in the book, the Bible, the Word of God, that sounds kind of like a weight to me. If you're spending more time bowing before the TV God, bowing before the television, than maybe bowing before our Heavenly Father in prayer, that sounds like there could be a weight. That could be a weight to me. That could be a weight. That could be a weight. I could go on and on and on with all kind of lists, but I'm saying these weights are subtle and sneaky. I mean, they ease into our lives and they drain us of spiritual energy. Things that in and of themselves are not necessarily bad, but they rob us of time. They drain us of spiritual energy. Anybody hearing me this morning? They drain you of spiritual energy. Now, I'm saying we need to be informed. Check this out. We need to be informed. I mean, I read the newspaper. But if I spend more time reading all the newspapers and know how to spend any time reading my Bible or things that are Christ-centered, that's going to hinder my spiritual progress. Lay those things aside, or at least minimize those things that you're spending large amounts of time on, but they have no spiritual value. And once again, I'm not saying you can't have hobbies. I'm not saying you can't have some relaxing things that you do. All of us need some balance in our lives. But I am suggesting that all of us probably have some weights, some habits that we can modify that can maybe help our spiritual growth, our spiritual progress in the Lord. Because right in this verse, the imagery that he gives us, I love this imagery, he gives us in this verse of a person running a race. Look what the text says. It says, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares or entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us run this race. Now, how many of y'all watch the Olympics? How many of y'all watch the Olympics? It's just, you know, this Summer Olympics. I know I did Summer Olympics. I love, probably my favorite thing watching all the Olympics is the track and field. And don't let Usain Bolt be running. I mean, I love to see Usain Bolt just be coasting and just burn everybody on the track field. One thing I noticed as I watched these runners, they were dressed very lightly. They had on light apparel, you know, little light t-shirt, little light shorts. And then none of them had their warm-up suits on. None of them had extra stuff on them. Why? Because they wanted to get as light as possible. They could run as fast as possible. So it is in the Christian race. You and I don't need to be trying to run. And we got our warm-up suit on. We got weights on our feet. All kind of. We need to lay aside those weights that we might run with endurance this Christian race. There's some things that you and I can lay aside that would indeed help us in our spiritual pride. I'm just being practical. There's some things that you and I can lay aside, not necessarily sinful things per se, but they would help us in our spiritual progress. Can I get a witness? There's some things we can lay aside. And so we're told by the writer of Hebrews to lay those things aside. Every weight that so easily weighs us down. Secondly, right from this text, lay aside the sin that so easily entangles you. Lay aside sin. We can still say that word in the Christian church, right? Sin. S-I-N. Lay aside the sin that so easily entangles you or me, that so easily trips us up. Lay those things aside, whatever sin that is. You know, many of us even have little pet sins. And I often try to excuse him away by saying stuff, foolish stuff like, well, you know, that's just the way I am. You know, I've been talking like that all my life. That's how I roll. Or here's another, I'm only human. Or, you know, I've been like this all my life. Well, I thought you had a new life. I thought you were a new creature in Christ. Old things pass away. New things have come. You and I need to lay aside those sins that so easily entangle us. I mean, lay aside gossiping. Lay aside slander. Lay aside lying and cussing. Lay aside pride. Lay aside premarital sex. Lay aside adultery. Lay aside homosexuality. Lay aside lusting and pornography. Lay aside envy and jealousy. Lay aside outbursts of anger that you're just going off all the time. Lay aside unforgiveness. Lay aside hatred. Do I need to listen more? Did I come down your street yet? Did I need to listen more? Lay aside drunkenness. Put that joint down. Put that marijuana. Put that joint down. Lay aside weed smoking. Lay aside the lack of faith in God, the lack of trusting God. That's many of us are seeing right there. We don't trust God or have faith in God like we should. Lay those things aside. The Bible says, lay aside every sin. Lay aside these sins that so easily entangle you. I know somebody's probably saying, Pastor, I'm trying to lay it aside. But it's difficult. It's too hard. I'm trying to lay it aside. I can't do it. Well, keep on reading. You and I start reading a little too soon. I know it's hard. I know you can't do it. I know you can't do it on your own. But verse two gives us the key. Here it is right here. When we take off the weights, when we lay aside the sin, we run this race looking unto Jesus. You know, you don't necessarily just focus on your sin. I mean, you're cognizant of it, but you look to Jesus. looking unto Jesus. See, if you spend all your time just focusing on the sin, there's no salvific value in that. You got to look to the one who can deliver you from the sin. You got to look to the one who paid the price for the sin. You got to look to the one who has broken the penalty of the sin and broken the power of it. You and I got to look to Jesus. You got to look to Jesus. You know, that thing was or is impossible to lay aside on your own, but now that I'm looking to Jesus, I'm realizing he's given me the strength to lay it aside. He's given me the strength to take off those weights. He's given me the strength to lay aside or forsake that sin. Matter of fact, we're told we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, right? Let me repeat that. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, right? You know, we quote these verses, but sometimes I wonder, do we really believe some of these verses? The Bible said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That means I can lay aside some weights. That means I can have some victory over sin. The Bible said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So see, I can lay aside, unforgiveness because I think about how God has forgiven me. I can lay aside anger and hatred because I can think about, the love of God and the love he has bestowed upon me. I can lay those things aside, but I can think about, well, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I can lay those things aside because I can think about God. He demonstrated his own love toward me. And while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. So I can lay those things aside. I can lay those things aside. See, Christ died for you and for me. Look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus. I can lay aside those things because Christ once again has given you the victory over them. I know that my faith is strong. I know my faith is strong. Why? Because Jesus Christ, he's the author and finisher, the author and perfecter of my faith. Let me say that again. I know my faith is strong, at least has the potential to be strong because Jesus himself is the author and the finisher, the author and perfecter of my faith. My faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. It's on Christ the solid rock I stand. I say it's on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground. Do I have any hymn readers in the house? All other ground is sinking sand. So I'm looking to Jesus. Not unto my sin. I'm looking unto Jesus. My eyes are fixed on him. That's like if you have a problem, an issue that comes into your life. It could be a big issue. It could be a mountain of an issue. Rather than just focusing so much on the issue, whatever the issue is, focus first on God. Focus first on Jesus. Look to him. And I promise you, as you look to him, as you gaze upon him, as you set your heart and mind and eyes on him and look back at that issue, and you looked at a big God, you looked at a big Jesus, you look at him and you look back at that issue that was big, it's still the same size, but since you're looking at a big God, you're looking to Jesus, that issue doesn't seem so big anymore. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the author and perfecter of our faith. See, I look to Jesus. You should look to Jesus for salvation. First and foremost, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The one who comes to the Father except through me. Salvation is in Christ and Christ alone. So salvation is in Christ and Christ. If you're looking somewhere else for salvation, you're looking in the wrong place. So I'm looking to Jesus for deliverance. I'm looking to Jesus for victory. I'm looking to Jesus for hope. I'm looking to Jesus for joy. You need any joy this morning? You need any hope this morning? Look to Jesus. I'm looking to Jesus for peace because he is the Prince of Peace. I said he is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. So I'm looking to Jesus for peace. Church, who are you looking at this morning? Who are you looking to? This morning, I encourage you to look unto Jesus. So Jesus, I'm looking to you for, and then just list whatever. I'm looking to you for this particular thing. I'm looking to you to help me to lay these weights aside. I'm looking to you to help me to not get entangled or trapped up or tripped up by this sin so easily. Dear Lord, I'm looking to you, dear Jesus, for that. I'm looking to you, Jesus, for, list it out. I'm listening to you for provision, for protection, for wisdom, for not. I'm looking to you for all these things. And I promise you, church, he's promised that he will provide for all of our needs. And I know sometimes we think of needs as being tangible, material needs. And that's the case sometimes. But not only that, Jesus provides all of our emotional needs, all of our mental, whatever you need, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, financially, materially, any other way, Jesus can provide it. I said, Jesus can provide it. The latter part of this verse says Jesus looked to the Father, said who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Now you and I know the cross, there was really no worse way to die than to die on the cross. It was a very shameful type of thing to die on the cross. And even when they had you up there, they often pretty much strip you about naked. And of course, before Christ even got to the cross, they beat him. And he hung on the cross, bearing your sins and my sins. But this verse says a very amazing thing. It said, Christ, he's the author and finisher of our faith. And he, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. When you think about that, that seems almost contradictory. He's going to the cross, but the Bible says, but the joy that was set before him. What is joy talking about? What is this joy talking about? Well, one of the things, when Jesus was on earth, his main thing, he often prayed, he's a God, he's a Father. I came here not to do my will, but to do thy will. He said, I'm here on my Father's mission. Matter of fact, I've come to seek and to save those who are lost. So the joy that was set before Christ was a joy that he had such a hunger to please his Father. He in a sense, kind of looked past the shame of the cross and saw the joy of the Father. He so desired to please his Heavenly Father. He just looked to the joy of the fact that he would please his Father by going to the cross. That's why he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Lord, I wish this could pass by me, but if not, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Beloved, you and I should strive as we follow Christ to live our lives in such a way that our main thing is I want to bring joy to the Father. I want to please my daddy. And as you think about that, it's a little easier to lay those weights and those sins aside. As you say, I want to please my Father. Our Heavenly Father. Jesus, Lord, he thought about the joy that it would give his Father by him going to the cross and being obedient to death, even death on the cross. He thought about the joy of saving sinners like you and me. He thought about the joy that he would present us, you and me, to the Father. He thought about that joy that would bring the Father and even he himself. So despising the shame, he looked to the joy of pleasing his Father. Philippians 1:6 tells us, and I'm confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, he can and he will complete it. So Christian friend, you can run this Christian race with endurance. You can run this Christian race and finish well. You can run this Christian race as you look to Jesus. So in this text, once again, to give us encouragement this morning, we can run this Christian race. We see we have witnesses of the past of people, Abraham and Moses and brothers like that who ran this race. Also, we can lay aside the weight that the stuff that's weighing us down, that's hindering us from growing in Christ. And also we can, by God's power, by Jesus' strength, we can lay aside the sin which so easily entraps us. So we got some examples. We got some things we need to do. But then there's one other thing in this verse. That's one other thing in this verse that should encourage your heart and my heart this morning, that I can run this race with endurance, that I can lay aside these weights, that I can have victory over sin. And it's at the latter part of verse 2, and I'm almost through this morning. I'm going to be the shortest man in town this morning. I'm almost through. Latter part of verse 2. Let me just read all of verse 2 again. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let me make sure that our theology is right and tight this morning. I know, and you should know, that you can run this race with endurance, that you can once again put away the weights and have victory over sin because of the latter part of verse 2. It tells us that Jesus is seated. And he's not just seated any old place. The writer is very specific. He said he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the one we are looking to, the one we are encouraged to look unto him, he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God the Father. Then this right hand of a king, this right hand speaks to a place of honor and power and authority. So Jesus is not just seated anywhere, but he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God, which designates his power and his authority. So he's seated in a place of honor and authority, the right hand of God, the Father. Watch this, though. He's seated there, and if I have any Bible readers in the house this morning, he's seated there. He's not just seated there. He is doing something while he's seated at the right hand of God, the Father. Oh, y'all not hearing me. I'm getting a little excited. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father, which is a place of power and authority and honor. He's seated there at the right hand of God the Father. And he's praying. I say he's praying. I say he's praying. Somebody said, well, okay, he's praying. Well, who is he praying for? Oh, he's praying for me and for you. I say he's praying for me and you. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father, a place of power and authority, and he's praying for us. He's praying to the Father. He's praying that you might be able to put that weight down. He's praying that you might have some victory over that sin. He's praying that you might can run this race with endurance, that you won't give out before the end, that you'll run on and see what the end says, like the old saints used to say. He's praying for you and for me. I said, Jesus is praying for you and for me. Oh, if you ever get a little down, if you ever get a little discouraged and say, man, I'm just going through. I don't know if I can make it. I can't call so-and-so. I called them. Their line was busy. So-and-so, they out of town. So-and-so, they went on home. I can't call on anybody. Call on Jesus. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher, the author and perfecter of your faith. And he's praying for you. I say he's praying for the children of God. He's praying for the church of the Lord Jesus. He's praying for us. And if Jesus is praying for you, I say, if Jesus is praying for you, since Jesus is praying for you, guess what? You can make it to the end. If he is praying for you, you can lay that weight aside. If he is praying for you, you can have some victory over sin. If he is praying for you, you can run this race until the, oh, let me say this again. If he's praying for you, you can run this race until the end. You can run with some endurance. Look unto Jesus. I said, look unto Jesus. I'm reminded of what Paul said when he was in prison. I've shared this several times from the pulpit. He was in prison up on one occasion, and you know, persecution was coming hard against the Christians. So Paul said pretty much all his boys had left him. But he pretty much was saying, he's writing this, he was pretty much saying, don't count it to them, to their account. But all of them, he said, all have forsaken me. Paul said, everybody had left. Timothy and Silas and Barnabas, all had left me. They were gone. All had forsaken me. He said, none stood with me. He said, but wait a minute. The Lord stood with me. The Lord Jesus Christ stood with me. We can always be encouraged by, even though however bleak the situation may seem, even though how tough things might get, even though you might think the whole world, everybody, my family forsook me, my church family forsook me, this people, co-workers forsook me. If you're in the army of the Lord, you can always say, but the Lord stood with me. Jesus stood with me. He did not forsake me. He stood with me. You ought to be able to get a hearty hand clap of praise for that. The Lord, he always stands with us. I'll leave you with this little hymn. Just ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. Jesus is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. Just look to Jesus. Yield not to temptation is the hymn. It says, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some others to win. Fight manfully onward, the hymn says. Fight manfully onward. That's kind of like running this race. Fight manfully onward. Dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus. Look ever to Jesus. Look ever to Jesus. I am in the Christian church this morning, right? Look ever to Jesus. And he will. And he will. And he will. And he will. Hey, won't he do it? He will carry you through.